Today's daf is daf chaf tes. We're raring to go, and we're right in the middle of the sugya of various foodstuffs that are suitable to use for an eruv. I'm going to wait a bit to give an introduction to this sugya because we seem to be low on population this morning. I guess the Rosh Chodesh is knocking him out right and left. So, all right, we'll continue meanwhile with the two dafs. This is where we're up to. Gufa. Amr Rav Yudah Marav. Kashut v'chaziz ma'arvin behem. Remember, we had yesterday the question of what bracha to make on kashut, which was this type of, it's a fungus kind of growth, which is, we said was hops. It doesn't grow directly from the ground. It grows on bushes by parasiting them. And the chaziz, if you recall, was when they would cut down the early stages of tefillah. It was a grass before when it was grown one-third, and that was used as a food, mostly for animal. And then at the end, they could do this two or three times, at the end the grain would grow. But in any event, the question we had yesterday with Gabi, the bracha, Rav said, as opposed to Shmuel, that on both kashut v'chaziz, you say ebore pri ha'adama, and what's more, you can use them as an eruv. Now, when you say you can use kashut as an eruv, how much exactly kashut would you need as an eruv? Kashut b'kama. I don't see how I can avoid giving a brief introduction. Let's just have a brief introduction to the sugya of the shiurim of Eruv, because otherwise this is going to be really very, very confusing. Basically, the shiur of an Eruv for an individual who wants to extend his Shvitat Shabbat is to have a su'uda for both the day and the night, or two su'udas in the day, in case he comes later at night, eats his night's su'uda at home, or what was his home before he made this little tree his home for Shvitat Shabbat. But in any event, two su'udot. Now those two su'udot don't actually have to exist. The two su'udot have to exist almost in a virtual sense. So if be'etzem you're bringing the food that you need, right? So then whatever that food is, you have bread, then you have bread that you would eat for the two su'udot. Yeah, everything has to be edible. It has to be edible, that's for sure. We already saw it. Thank you, Barnett, for the offer of this spa. This is fantastic. We've been collecting more than ever before because of this, Jericho spot. I don't know how you managed that deal. I guess it had to do with being in your neighborhood.
It does.
Yeah, okay.
This is a credit. I have a new improved envelope.
No, we like this one.
That already with 50 shekels in it.
Yeah, but this one doesn't have this one credit.
That one already has money in it also.
We could just add it together.
Excellent.
Okay, so in any event, supposing you were setting up a su'udah and you had some fruit for dessert. When it comes to the Eruv, you could just put the fruit for dessert. And then that would be an indication that obviously there's a virtual su'uda there. Because what are you just bringing dessert for? In other words, the idea over here is not literally to have sufficient food to eat for a su'uda, but rather to sit down a su'uda, and whatever setting down that you do that defines that element of the su'uda is sufficient. So let's say you want to set down a dessert, it could be enough for dessert. You want to set down something which is generally eaten together with bread, so then set it down. You have a little bit of jam, the amount of jam that you would usually eat with bread. Then that's the indication of the su'uda. You have some wine, enough wine that you would drink with the su'uda. Then that's the su'uda. This is obviously a tremendous kula when it comes to eruv tumim. When you have an awful lot of people that you're going to make an eruv for, then you'd be well advised not to go the way of the bread or the meat or the real bulk of the su'uda, because then you'd have to put up an awful lot of stuff for your eruv. And choose something which only a little bit of is generally what you would have for your meal. I once had a challenge to create an Erev for 300-400 people because there was a problem. There was no room in the hotel in the hallway. And they got some additional rooms that were off from the other side and so on, and they had to walk. It was chutzat chum. So what we ended up using was grape juice. I had a real tough time persuading the Indian lady that had a little kiosk in the middle of I should be allowed to put the grape juice in on the porch and so on. But anyway, we worked it out at the last minute. But again, I mean, the truth that put an actual layer there would have been horrific. I mean, we would have needed a few big containers like this. It was sufficient. We'll see how much grape juice you need as we go along.
Each person needs.
Because that's the idea of being kovea, which is not the case when it comes to the Erev Chaseros and so on over there a little bit. Would be sufficient. Yeah, there's a certain minimum once you go beyond growth to a kolachad, then it's sufficient that you should have. But that we'll see later on. No, that's not an Erev Tumim, sweetheart.
Got it.
Yeah. So now the Shaila is, when you're talking about these various elements, the shiurim that we give for each one of these elements is not the shiur of what it would take to eat a su'uda made out of hops. People don't eat a su'uda made out of hops. No such thing. So therefore, the shiurim that we give is what amount of kashrut would be suitable in a segula to provide whatever kashrut provides. If kashrut provides liftan for the lalafet at that part, sound like a jam. It's fine. So it would be the amount of kashrut we need. If it's a dessert, so then it would be a dessert.
It would be for each person.
For each person. So goof. Amr Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Kashrut v'chaziz marvim them again. Kashrut bekama. We'll see later on that Rabbi Yechiel speaks about a case which is similar to kashrut, which we're getting to, where he says kimlo hayad, a handful would be sufficient. Well, kanani kimlo hayad chaziz bekama. Amar Rabba bar Tuvia bar Yitzchak Amar Rav kimoli uzilta de ikri. They often have gardeners that make a little band around some veggies. I guess, okay, yeah, parsley, stuff like that. Called a bunch. Okay. So here to whatever is sold normally like that in the roadside stands, that's Uzilta de Ikri, where the farmer sells it at the farmer's stand next to the road. Omra Chilki Bartuvia, Ma'arvim Bekalia. You can actually use the thick stem of a leafy vegetable, and that could be your Eruv. Bekalia Sakadaitach, and that's usually too hard to even eat. Now, we mean Biyarka de Kalia. We mean with the green area that juts out of that. If you have enough for that, like people will eat for morrow, so then that's also considered to be a food. The kama, and here is where Rabbi Yechiel said, kim lo hayad. So you could have certain things which are eaten together with a meal, which are mashed in the meal, and this is the size of the side dish of the meal. So say we can use the dessert of the meal, use the side dish of the meal. And that's kovea, a virtual suda. Why? Because you're being Isaac in your suda. Remember that the Iker Hadin, the best Erev is to just be there during Bein HaShemashot. That's all that you need. You don't need to have a meal. The meal is a kula. If you can't be bothered to go out to the space where you're going to have your Makom Shvisa, so then you can ask somebody, do me a favor, drop this off. Or if you don't want to be there at the time Bein HaShemashot, which is the moment that's kovea, where your Makom Shvita is, you have to be there during the Bein HaShemashot. So then what you could do is you can drive by during the day, leave an Erev there, but it's too close to Shabbos, you don't have time to go out there now. Your intent was to walk during the day, so you leave the Erev there at night. But obviously it's not the food per se that's needed. The food is standing in for you. So then they have virtual standing in for you for food is also good. Somebody would be there without any food and we'd ask, well, you really intend to stay or you don't have anything to eat.
Like
I'm here. So that's the point.
Something like hotel.
Well, some hotels feed you.
No, like you. Sorry, yeah. Hotel. So why can't you just tell the people? They have to be.
Because who's going to go out there? Who's going to have to walk back 2 kilometers?
I don't quite understand. They were staying. Their cottages were out.
Okay, but why would they want to leave their cottage during the most busy time of Erev Shabbos? Erev is still the shower. They could have done that in a
Kilani. But then they go back to where they really want to be.
Additional $2,000.
Well, I can't say they really
want
that.
Yes,
go back to the hotel,
yes.
For example.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because you were there being unconscious, and then you don't have to leave anything.
Rabbi, right. Can I please be amazed to ask you to clarify, are you referring only to an Erev Tumim, the additional $2,000?
Yes.
It's not being made clear.
Yes.
Thank you.
Absolutely. 100%. No question about it. Something that was discussed in the opening Rashi and pointed out that the entire parak deals with Eruv Eitz Chumim. And I would say about that issue, it's 100% accurate. You can take it and you can build on it. I would even invest with
take
it. And it's like, absolutely.
Is
it the Kohanim that is difficult? I thought I was giving him a run for the money.
I know.
So, but Josh, what do you say? Can we continue? Yes, thank you. It's 8:15. Okay. Now, Rav Yechiel, I'm Rav Yechiel. Yeah, this is the booker of what we quoted Rav Yechiel before to say the same way that he would say it here. He would have said it on Kashrut as well. Rav Yirmiyah nafak lekiryat, the poor Rav Yirmiyah, every time he went out into the sticks to check out his fields and so on and so forth, they would always see him, they'd run to him and start asking Shilas. Most of the time he never knew the answer. And this, we have a lot of examples. So here Rav Yirmiyah went out to Kiryat, and they asked him, can we use polin lachin? Can we use peas that are not dried, so they're edible? Lo avi biyadi, he didn't know. So kiyasul avi bedrasha, he went back to Beis HaRedrash and asked, what should I have said? You can indeed use fresh peas. Vikama. Here we go. So that's a shir where you've got like the side dish of a vegetable and you're going to build a meal on it. Mloayat is sufficient. One. Always for one person. You can use, obviously it's always the best thing to use beets, fresh beets. Don't give me the spinach business again. I hope you're not going to start arguing with spinach. That's not you. Somebody keeps giving me a problem with spinach every time we get there. Anyway, so you can use raw beets, chayotirin beets. Beyond Rafista, Silka, Chaya, Kotel Gabra, Chaya. But doesn't Rafista say that raw beets will kill a live man? Which means that it's not really the way to go. Like we saw yesterday, the food has got to be food that you're going to want to eat.
He said the quiche
one. Agu, bebashil, velo bashil. That's talking about when he said chai, he meant the way we have chai with the Korban Pesach. You know, real men don't eat beet quiche. So that's what he's talking about. It's sort of half cooked. It's not really a fully cooked. But if it's completely raw, say nothing about it. It's not a problem. Ikidi Amri Omer of Amunah, others have this. This is the same ma'amar, but presented a little bit differently. According to which Rav Amnuna said you cannot use beets. Because, says Rav Amnuna, that Rav Chista said, silka, which is the same thing as teret, which is the same thing as beets, the chaya is katil gabra chaya. That'll kill a guy. That's the Gemara, but people eat beets all the time. They don't seem to be dying by the droves. People eat it. I've actually seen people eat beet and they don't die. Hasan Babasha Velo Basha. What he was talking about, Rav Amnuna in this version, and Rav Chista as well, was talking about half cooked beets. If you're going to go for borscht, then it's got to be pure borscht. That's the point.
Raw beets are okay, right?
Raw beets are okay. They won't kill you. It's the half baked beets. That'll do you in every time.
According to this, raw beets would or wouldn't work?
Would be okay.
Because it could be cooked?
No, because people eat it. Yeah, could be is not enough. Omer Rafista, huh?
Well, suppose we could accept Rafista's statement even directly as a level of good.
Well, no, he's better.
But you, it's not good for you.
No, he means it will really get you.
Immediately.
Well, maybe not. Omer Rafista. Yeah, look, says Rafista, I mean, you don't want to think that I'm against beets. I mean, if you're talking about borscht is a whole different thing. You see. A tafshil shall trot. If you're talking about borscht, couldn't be better. Yafal alayif, it's good for the heart. Tov le naim, it helps your vision. Kozhiket le bnei be'ayim, the best of all is for your tummy. I mean, that's you got problems. Eat borscht. Omer abayim, v'hud yasif ha-be'tapi, v'avik tuk, tuk. That's only if it's sitting for a long time on the stovetop and it's going tuk, tuk. So it's like really nice and thick and bubbly and so on. Then you should eat it. They'll do all these good things for you. Rava was feeling pretty hot about himself one day. And he went out there and said, I'm ready to take on any challenge in the world. I really give Ben Azai b'shukei Tveri. I dare you. Did anybody ever get Ben Azai on anything? Huh? No. Never. Well, here I am. Go ahead. Ask your questions. So one of the Talmidim goes and asks Rava, how many apples do you need for an Eruv? Who ever heard of making an Erev with apples? Tosfos Tainis earlier, a couple days ago, that he was just being mechadded at the Talmidim to drive them crazy. You know, I mean, once they're trying to challenge him, you might as well give him a run too, you know. Because he says that from the Hemshech HaSug, it's not mashma that we're talking about crab apples. It's mashma talking about real apples. What would be wrong with real apples? But there are some who learned that we're talking about crab apples. Or tapuchei hayar. And they're saying that's not considered to be the kind of thing that you would want to just eat raw. So he said, you're allowed to use apples for an Erev? He says, what? And you're not? V'lo v'tzan. Kol ha'ochlin mitztarfim lipsulat ha'gviya b'chatzi pras. You will recall from our Gemara that we just had recently in Chulin, that whole, or that we will be having soon in Chulin, the whole sugya of Tumat Gviya, that we went through at great length, and we spoke about it back in Shabbos as well, that the Araisa Halacha is that a person cannot become tomei from eating food. By definition, because food cannot be an avatuma, and it's not going to be metame and adam, and adam cannot be mekabotuma from avatuma. However, the Rabbanan created a tuma called tumat gviya, which appears when a person eats a certain amount, which we'll see how much, of food which is tame, and that makes him tame the gabe achilas truma. What is the shir? So it says all types of food. The shir over there for psul gviya is a chatzi pras. It's half of a pras, which would be the full seuda of shmona beitzim, is considered to be the kikar. This would be a pras of that, and a pras of the pras. It's chatzi pras. Pras means half. And kol ha'ochlin are also added together. B'mazon shtei seudot la'eruv. You could take any kind of food at all, and you can put it all together to make yourself a seuda la'eruv. And for the shear of kibetza, the tamei tumat ochlin, to be mekabel tumas ochlin, or to be metame tumas ochlin, also a big machlokas, as we've had many times Rashi and Tosfos. And therefore, it appears that the word is kol ha'ochlim. Kol ha'ochlim, mashma anything. I mean, certainly tapuchim are included in kol ha'ochlim, aren't they? You're not going to say they're not makabel tumas ochlim, are you? What kind of question is that? Why might you have to explain what your question is? What it happened to say kol ha'ochlim loosely over here. I mean, milim should be tani kol ha'ochlim. Vahani bnei achila nino. Since these are edibles, by definition, they're part of kol ha'ochlim. That's not true. I mean, Omer b'yochanan elim made him in a kolalot afila b'mak b'shemar b'chutz. You're certainly not going to say that that's the main focus over here. That Mish told me anything that could possibly be included in Ochlin. That's not a good riot against Rava. No. It's Mishum Diktani, Ubi Bazon Shtei Sudod Le'eruv, Uchepeitza V'Tameitu Matochlim, V'Hani Nami B'Neitu Matochlim Minhu. Which the Netziv learns that the Diuk over here is from the fact that it goes from Sugvia to Shtei Sudod Le'eruv, back to the Din of Tameitu Matochlim. It's a rather strange organization. Unless it's trying to tell you that the din of Eruv is meant to be mechubar to the din of Tumas Eichlin. Now, whatever could be makabel, Tumas Eichlin is included in the din of Eruv. That's a deal. Okay, so we're going to say, therefore, that apples are, in fact, okay for an Eruv. How many apples? Bekama. Amr Nachman, Tapuchim, Bekav. You need a bushel of apples. Nice favorite, Shum Ben Elazar. Why do you need so many apples? Shum Ben Elazar, I'm there. Uchla, Tavun. And Uchla is an eighth of a look. The uchla is actually based on the Roman system. The litra, uchla shmini is a litra. But a litra is the equivalent of our lug. So it means an eighth of a lug of tavlin, and a litra of yerek, a lug of yerek, or asara egozim, or chamisha farsakim, or shnei rimonim, or etrogecha. I mean, why is a tapuach less valuable than an afarsak? If you can use just five peaches, what do you need a kav of apples for? V'yomar gursak bar dari, mishmei de remenashe bar shaguvli, mishmei de rav, v'chein le'eruv. All of these shiurim that we're talking about, what it is to give out, the case over here was not referring to eruv. The case was referring to how much food do you have to give to an oni who comes to you when you're giving out food of your farm, and you have a certain amount to give. You got a lot of aniyim over there. You can't cut it down and say, okay, I'll give everybody one apple. You have to give a shiur that is chashav. So it has to be, minatata lalevi, it has to be a shiur nitina. The truth is, others learn it out from visaveu. But there needs to be enough to give them a sense of satisfaction. But in any event, these are the shiur for an ani on the goren. And when you run out of food, you run out of food. But you can't give less than this. Now, Rav here is quoted that the same thing is true by an eruv. In which case, a tapuach is basically the same as a peach, isn't it? I mean, apple, peach, it's just the same kind of thing. So clearly you don't need that much when it comes to peaches. Answers the Gemara. No, the thing is, that ani chashive, v'ani lo chashive. One is considered to be valuable in the meal. A peach is something that has a very short season. People are makbid on it, they enjoy it, particularly it's expensive. Five of them is something that you would have in a meal, and that would be chashev in a meal. Hashem becomes tapuchim. We're going to get chapak or tapuchim. It doesn't have that sense of giving the meal a tzura of a meal. Omer Yosef.
So
that it can't be metamei others. So in dinim of tumah means that the tumah stops here, but it's affected here. He can't be metamei something else, but he himself becomes pasul. Because of tumah.
He's not located for one.
Yeah. So I said it right. It's not possible to be matami and adam.
So if he touches tumah, he doesn't possible.
Right. No, it's not afila. Now, says Rav Yosef, I can't believe Rav Menashe bar Shaguvli said that. May God forgive him. Shara le more le Rav Menashe bar Shaguvli. An amrit ani ale amat nitzin. I was one who taught it to him. He's quoting it all wrong. I taught it to him about the Mishnah, which I'll tell you in a moment. And he goes and quotes it on this brisa about the ani and the with all of these things. It's a whole Mishnah, and he got it confused with the Mishnah of Meiser ani, and he brought a brisa. The Tanan, here's the Mishnah I said it on. Ein pochatim la ani begorin mechatzi kav chitim. You're going to give out chitim, it's got to be a half a kav. You're going to give out sorim, it's got to be a whole kav. The Rabbi Meir says, no, chatzi kav sorim, kav v'chetzi kuzmin. So he goes back now to the sorim, and he says, the chatzi kav sorim is also kosher. If it's kuzmin, which is a low-class grain, then you need kav v'chetzi. So we go up each time with the chatzi kav. If you have grogrot, so then a kav of grogrot, or a mona dvela, So it's interesting because the kav is a volume measure and a mona is a weight measure. So Rashi points out that when we have, once we compress figs into a devela, we start selling it by the mona, by the weight, rather than by the kav. Rabbi Akiva Omer, pras, and not a mona, but a pras. Chatzi lug yayin, which is strange, we used to think about revia salug, but the truth is chatzi lug, because we're talking about two sudas, aren't we? So two sudas are two revia salugs, which is a chatzi lug. Rabbi Akiva Omer, a revia is chashiv, and therefore it stands in for your sudas. Revia shemen, Rabbi Akiva Omer, shminit. Vishar kol aperot. Now this question has nothing to do with Erevin, that's for sure. This is only nogea netzina to an oni, because it's a din tzedakah. If you're giving out other peiros, what's the shiur? Amar Abba Shaul, k'dei sheyimachrein v'yikach v'yamazon shtei sudot. They should have the value to be sold, and you could buy two sudas with them. That's a choshev and a sina to an ani. Now, obviously, for an eruv, that's a meaningless shiur. You have to be able to have the thing that you're eating, not to go out and sell it and buy something that would be irrelevant to eruv. And I quoted, said Rabbi Yosef, to Rabbi Narshav Arshagovli, that Rav said about that Mishnah, Bechela Eruv. Now he went and he took Rav's Maimer and applied it to that Brisa. Ask the Gemara, what's the big deal? My only the Har Niach, I don't understand. They're both, they're not contradicting each other. They're both talking about the same thing. They're both talking about the comparison of an of Shir Tanim, of an Eruv. Fine, so one mentions different things than the other one mentions. One talks about the oil and about vinegar and about wine, and the other one talks about peaches and nuts. And I said, what's the difference? Does it really matter where you quoted Rav? That's how Rashi seems to understand the question. Many Mishnah don't like that, because a taking on yourself to quote Rav about something is anyway unforgivable. Is why I say Charlie Mori. You don't say Rav said. You could say mitoch what Rav said about this Mishnah, and then the mashmut would be on the bright. And how do you know it's exactly the same svara? Maybe there's other issues that you need to take into consideration. So Tosfos says that the Gemara had a Kabbalah that Rav Yosef did not himself hear the din from Rav that it was said on the Mishnah. In other words, they understood that Rav Yosef himself was comparing elements of Rav. That's why they're asking. So what exactly is the big deal if you yourself didn't hear it on the Mishnah? And the Gemara answers, Mishum de Katani Bahach Tavlin. Is it because Ilema Mishum de Katani Bahach Tavlin, the Tavlin Lad Bene Achilaninu? Is it because you're upset that the way that he quoted Rav was talking about, and how much Tavlin can you give out? An Uchla Tavlin. But Tavlin are not edible yet. So how exactly could you use it for an Eruv? So, and over here in the Mishnah that you quoted, doesn't it say to give out wheat? Are we talking about eating raw wheat? We're talking about eating raw saurim? Obviously, we're not talking about the species here. We're talking about the amounts. We're not saying, and every species mentioned in the Mishnah is what you do for an Eruv. Not so. But when you do have a species that you can use for an Eruv, then this would be the shear of the Eruv, is all we were saying. So what would be wrong with saying that about the bride? That's exactly the same thing. Therefore, Elamishum Diktani, Chatzi Lugyai, because the whole point is this. Rabbi Yosef had come to the conclusion that it was Rav, based on the Chatzi Lugyai. And Rav definitely had been heard to say, Ma'arvin b'shtei revi'iyot shel yayin. Right? Why did he say shtei revi'iyot? Which is the same thing. Because he was trying to teach us the reasoning. The reasoning is that a revi'is is chashuv for one suda. For an Erev, you need two sudas. You need two revi'is, which is the Chatzi Avot. So you see that Rav essentially took that Mishnah and was giving the equivalent hesber of that Mishnah's application to the Dinim of Erev. So if that's the case, it's clear, Shmamina Kiyoma Rav Achein Le'eruv, Ahamatz Nita Kama Shmamina. So according to Rashi's approach, we'll have to say that the meaning is that in this, if you quote it on the bright side, we wouldn't know the Schiddush. Because since we saw that Chashivut of a Ma'akal is part of what allows it to stand in for a soda, I would have thought, look, a revius of yain is always chashuv. I mean, a revius of yain, you have to drink the whole thing at one sitting. You can drink the revius of yain over your Shabbos. And therefore, I would have thought that it would have been enough. Okay. If I don't quote Rav on this Mishnah, then I end up losing that finish. According to the way Tosis is learning, the whole idea is that you're quoting it in a way that you don't know that that's where Rav said it. I know that Rav said it because of matching up Rav's Maimer to this Mishnah. So what do you now? You're taking it another step. Shmami. Omer Mar, u'bimazon shtei se'udot la'iruv. And, so all you said back in the original comparison of Kol Ha'echlin, that they're all mitzdaref for the amount of food that you would need for two se'udot. So Rav Yosef thought, I mean, what does that mean? It can't mean you can have one peach, three nuts, and so on. Take like a small amount of each one. I mean, that doesn't make sense. Maybe it means that nika se'uda mihai v'se'uda mihai. In other words, you don't have to have your whole Shabbos made out of peaches. You can have one meal made out of nuts and one meal made out of peaches. That's what he thought it meant. Omar le Rabba, that's not what it means. It's afilu lemechta, leshlish, leravia. You can slice it any way you want. As long as, and you put down enough over here to be what's necessary for a meal. Guf, Amara, Marvin, b'shtei revi'iyot shel yayin. Umi be'inan kulei hai, do we need so much wine? V'atanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, omer yayin kidei le'echol bo. You need enough wine to eat. Le'echol bo means not to drink. Le'echol bo means to dip your bread into and get it soft, and you use it like a liftan. Otherwise you say kidei le'shtot, obviously. Chometz, kidei le'tabel bo. Vinegar is used for dipping your vegetables in, or for your dipping your meat in, which is the way that they would normally eat. Zeitim u'bitzalim, kidei le'echol behem, the bread that you would use, having a spread of zeitim and bitzalim, of shtei se'udot. So again, here we already see, clearly, delineated, the different usages of different things in a meal. So in other words, if I want to make an erev with wine, seems to be saying over here, this is Akasha, you said you can make an erev with wine, if it's enough to drink. You don't need any food. Here it says, you can make an erev with wine if it's enough to put your bread into. You say, we'd dip a bread in wine, and that would be the way we would use jam. Let's say grape jelly.
When they give these measurements, they talk about one individual. So what about the family?
She'll have to have her own. So or you can leave her at home.
So in other words, if you want your wife to be able to carry it, so you've got to add it.
Yeah, if you want her to carry it, I mean, she's got to be there.
She's got to be there. No, seriously.
It's for one. And it's every person. You've got to worry about every person that's
there. Who needs the tumo, needs to walk.
Whoever has to walk has to have a meal. Let me clarify again. We're talking about over here the problem of walking outside of the 2,000 amot. You're normally allowed to walk. And the eruv that we have over here, you're not a kohen, right? You are. So we already answered the kayan. What's going on over here? Oh, I see. All right, so then we need to reiterate.
My father.
Okay. We are not talking about carrying. We're talking about walking. So here it says three different types of usages. Dipping bread, which is like a jam, and talks about tibble, which is to dip your food into, a salad dressing or a meat dressing. And then it talks about liftan, the things that you would have normally together with your meal as the side dish with your bread. So first of all, our problem is that you said that wine is enough to drink, and here it says that you don't need enough to drink, you don't need revias for each thing, and it's sufficient to have just enough to dip the bread into. And when it says over here, chometz kidei l'tabelba, what does that mean? I'm sorry, I'm skipped. Hatam b'chamra mevashel. That's talking about not normal wine, not drinking wine. It's talking about a cooked wine that they would make in order to dip bread into. But drinking wine, that would be in fact a revias for each siddur, which means you need a chatziluk.
This is reminiscent of the sugya gets in the bartender. There's a day that wine make us a mazon and the wine is a zayin.
Yeah, but that's not the point here.
I know.
Yeah. Omer of Gidol Amarav, when you say chometz kedei l'tabel, what does kedei l'tabel mean? Kedei l'tabel bo mazon shtei se'udot shel yerek. There's two lashonas here. And others say, Omer of Gidol Amarav, it means enough to be tabel yerek hane'echal b'shtei se'udot. Now that's two totally different things. And take a look here, we have yet a fourth description. When you say you need enough salad dressing to dip, okay, are you eating a meal of vegetables? It's a lot of vegetables. Or does it mean enough dip for the vegetables that you would eat when you're eating a meal? But of course the meal consists of bread and so on, which is, of course, much less. These are the two lishainas now. Are we talking about when you have a dip, can you take it two steps? In other words, if I were eating a meal in which I had a salad along with my bread, And I want the salad dressing for that salad. How much salad dressing would I need? Then that salad dressing would be sufficient, according to one lashon. According to the other lashon, no. I mean, it needs to be serving the primary meal. If the primary meal is yerek, so then how much dressing would you need to eat yerek? Okay, these are our two lashonos. Omar Mar. Furthermore, you said zeitim ubitzalim, onions. Ah, onions. Would you eat onions? Bitzalim mi ma'arv. You're telling me you can eat onions and make them for an eruv? V'atanya Omer Shimon ben Elazar pa'am achat Shabbat Rabbi Meir bar Diska. It once happened that Rabbi Meir was spending Shabbos in Ardiska. And somebody comes along to him and says, ah, so happy to be here with you. Normally I would never have made it, but I made an Erev with some batzal to get to Tivon. And since I had that Erev, I was able to pass by Ardiskia and be Mekabel Parim. I didn't even know you were here. I'm so happy I met you. And Rabbi Meir said, you ain't happy anymore, because you ain't going to Tivon. You're staying right here, buddy. And you're not even moving, because you can't make an Erev out of onions. So Shiva Rabbi Meir be Arba Amot Shalom. Rabbi Meir said, you can't leave your Arba Amot. You're stuck. Because you went out of your tomb. Illegally.
You can't go back.
You can't go back. You can't go forwards. You can't go to the side. You can't go anywhere. You're stuck. Answers the Gemara Lokashya. Haba Alim, Haba Imahot. It depends which part of the onion you're talking about. We're talking about those leaves that grow out of the onions when they get over, you know. Over.
That's right.
That's not good. But here we're talking about the onion itself. The tanya achal batzal. Somebody who eats a onion and then goes to sleep. People actually do this on Shabbos. Somebody eats shalit and goes to sleep and never wakes up. You don't have to ask why he died, says the Gemara. So, ain't omri mima, mate? What do you, gee, what happened to the guy? It's obvious what happened to the guy. So it's clear. It's clear that there's something not too good about onions, and it was there that Shmuel explained it. Shmuel was a doctor, of course, that lo shanu ela ba'alim. That's only if you eat the leaves. You can eat the actual onion, and the truth is ba'alim amilo amr. Even the leaves aren't bad for you, unless they're just growing out of the onion. The lo iftzel zirta, they have not yet spread out to the shear of a zeret. Once they've grown out to the shear of a zeret, they lose their danger and letlan ba. And Omer of Papa was a famous beer maker. Said Rav Papa, well, obviously the only problem of eating onions is if you don't complete the meal with a Guinness. But lo amar of the lo ishte shechra. That's only if you're crazy enough to eat without closing a meal with a good mug of beer. Avol ishte shechra let lamba. There's never a problem as long as you finish the meal with a Guinness. Everything is fine. Tener Rabbanan.
Okay, the Kesher with Vidalia onions. He has Vidalia onions every Shabbos. I'm sure that is
Jay Temple
today. Tener Rabbanan. Lo yochal adam batzal v'tnei nachashavo. Don't eat onions. Because the rational is nachashavo. It's just we're borrowing the term nachash. I mean poison. Snakes are often poison. But Rabbi Yochanan has a fascinating pirush in which he says there's a thin tube in the onion that contains the seeds, which we're calling an nachash, because it's a coiled inside piece. And that givol is dangerous to eat. That and only that piece, and that's the nachash. Umaseh b'Rebbe Chanina, she'ochol chatzi batzal v'chatzi nachashabo, v'chalav v'natalamut. Rebbe Chanina, you know, that Arod couldn't get him, but let me tell you something, batzal will get you anything. There's some learned because he shouldn't have taken his life in his hands to go and eat a batzal. Mela, you want to start up with a dragon, that's one thing, but certainly not with an onion. V'chala, and he got sick. V'natalamut, he was about to die. U'bikshu chevirav rachamim alav, they made a tehillim session. V'choya, mipnei sha'asha'at z'richalo, not that he deserved it after doing such a terrible thing, but because the world needed him, they let him off. Om Rebbe Zera Amar Shmua. Sheikhar, speaking of beer, you could use beer as an eruv. And actually beer, and this is a very deep cut against Rav Papa, actually you could use beer if it falls into a mikveh that's missing its full arboyim sa'ah, then if shloisha lugin of beer fall into a mikveh, it's the same as having shloisha lugin of mayim falling into a mikveh. Don't give me this beer business. If it would be wine,
no. No, it's American beer stuff.
If it would be wine,
near beer.
Wine is not considered to be water. Beer is nothing but glorified water. What are you doing? Got a little bit of flavor in there. And therefore, it's going to pass at the mikveh. Maski for Rav Kahana, I don't even understand the Chiddush. Pshita, obviously. What's beer? It's colored water. If you want to drink, you drink some wine. So, Mamela, if you're going to pour beer into the mikveh, of course, it's not going to be different than pouring in that raspberry juice stuff. The Tzan Rav Yossi Omer, I don't mean real raspberry juice. It's an Israeli idea to you guys overseas. Our visiting professor in China, keep your eyes open, see if they got petal over there, and we're waiting for you to come home. So now, there's no difference between beer and colored water, is there? Tznan Rabbi Yossi Omer, Meitzeva posen et hamikveh b'shloshet lugim. Colored water will pass on a mikveh, so why shouldn't beer? Now, that's because, come on, I mean, there's a limit to how much you want to undercut for a papa. Hata maya detziva mikveh. But over there, you call it colored water. Over here, you call it beer. So, haka shichra ikri. You might think that that changes its hashibut. It's not considered to be mayim shuvim anymore. And if you have beer, bekama ma'arvin, how much beer would you need to make an eruv? So, Rav Acha, b'reid Rav Yosef, k'meid Rav Yosef b'meimar, betrain rivei shichra. Rav Acha, who was Rav Yosef's son, was telling his father, and I think that the shear would be over here, to a riva. Now this riva does not mean a revius. It means a revius of a kav, which is a full lug. We usually refer to a revius as a revius a lug. It's about 3 ounces, 4 ounces. Depending on whose shear you have, 3 to 5 ounces. This is talking about the four of those, which is a revius of a kav, not a revius of a lug. And where do I get that from? Kiditzan. Amotzi yayin kidemizigata kos. The Tani Alaki Demis, he got Kos Yafa. How much is the shear of carrying on Shabbat? And we're comparing it because, after all, the shear of carrying is based on what is considered to be Chashuv. So if you're carrying out a sufficient amount of wine to be able to add water to for a Kos, and when we say a Kos, it says in the Braita, we make Kos Yafa. What's a Kos Yafa? A Kosher Bracha. So what would that mean? Kosher Bracha, Tzar Sheba Rova Revias. Kadeshi in Mazginu v'yamod arvias. The Kosho Bracha requires a quarter of a revius. Now Rashi elsewhere says, don't make the mistake that this is the same revius. The Rova HaKav. This is a Rova revius that we call a revius. It is the revius of a lug. Right. But here Rashi, the Rashi that we have here, doesn't say that. He says the pshat which he elsewhere said, v'yesh to'im b'shmuazu, is quoted here in this Rashi, which some say was not really Rashi. It's trapped in somebody threw in here.
We don't mean a quarter of a Kiddush cup.
We mean a quarter of a Kiddush cup of Yayin Chai that is sufficient to mix 3 to 1.
To make a
complete 3 to 1 will give us a complete reveal.
And what about the container he's carrying this in?
The container doesn't matter. Because it's bottle. Remember, it says Beferish. If you're carrying a container that has something that's bottle.
If the container was empty and there was nothing in it, but it was a container that could have held that, I'm just...
So then maybe you'd be Chayav. I don't think we're dealing with the question of Hotzah here. Or the cases that you're raising. They are completely, totally tangential and irrelevant. So now, why don't we just have a screen that just says 1, 2, 3, and 4? That should handle it.
And then
depending on the number that comes up. Listen, I don't know where we would be without you. That's the truth. Because I mean, without laughter, you know, all of this would become really heavy.
Do you remember Kosher
in Los Angeles?
You'd come and you'd ask him something. He'd say, there was six. There was a list of answers. He would just say, hey, the people didn't know what stand to be willed. And suddenly, he'd say, please look at the list.
That's wonderful. That's a real sense of humor.
Rabbi,
yes.
If somebody's bringing an Erev for himself, his wife, and 3 children.
An Erev to what?
To war. Yeah. An Erev to war for his wife and 3 children. Now, it seems to me that if he's talking about children, mm-hmm. they can't have beer or wine. Wouldn't you have to put something else there?
No, he could eat his children.
He couldn't just put enough wine for himself and his wife. No?
Well, if it would be bad for him, we're happy for the child if something is bad for him.
So he had a little bit more.
He'd have to put something that's royal for children.
The minimum drinking age was lower than
that. Right, imagine.
If you eat your children, do they become other children?
All right. So now, the reason, said Rabbi Yosef, said Rav Acha, Breda Rav Yosef, the reason I come to this conclusion is because look, you take a look at Hotza, it says over there that the shear is Rov Aravias, Kadeshim is again of Yamad Aravias, because that way you know you can have a 3 to 1 mix. And that's like Rava. Rava says, if your wine can't take 3 to 1, that ain't wine. So Kol Chamer, the Lodara Al Chad, the Tlat Maya, if you can't take on one amount one unit of wine, 3 units of water. Don't even bother calling it wine. V'katari seifa. Now, it ends up saying in the end, but sharkala mashkin, you would need a revius, which would be 4 times as much, in other words, correct? V'chala shofchin, and if you're bringing out sewer water, things that you'd be throwing out, also revius. But anyway, what I'm important to me is this. If we see that the relationship of other types of mashkin to wine is 1 to 4, so nidahata malchad arba, harkanami alchad arba, you said that you need a revius of wine for each one of your seudas, which means you need 2 revius in order to have a kosher eruv for Shabbos. If you need 2 revius, then you would need 4 times that much beer. You got that, Rav Papa? 4 times that much beer to have a serious eruv. That's what I think.
How do we get that?
Because it's 4 times as much. Beer is water. There's other mashkin. But this is wrong. This is simply not true. Veloi. The point over there is less than that amount for Legabe Hotzah is simply not kosher. Less than revius is a kosher. So normally you have to take out revius. It doesn't mean you need 4 times as much to drink to get high, does it? You never notice the Guinness advertisements. You can drink a Guinness first thing in the morning and drink a Guinness in the evening and you don't eat anything else all day long.
And you're happy all day?
So you're happy all day, exactly. So it's always time for a Guinness. That's the idea.
It's kosher wherever you go.
That's right. In which case, over here would be sufficient because it's kosher in terms of the soup.
What is the something?
Something, can rely on that. It's smart. Feeling good. I'm feeling full. Tamarim bekav. Okay, how much tamarim? Om Rav Yezu, tamarim bekav. I'll prove it. Om Rav Yezu, I can't prove a kav. I can prove certainly only more than a kav. Maybe less. But minoam, this Hatosis understands. Titania. Now this is an interesting halacha. The thing is that if a Yisrael, a Tzar, eats truma from a kohen, he's got to pay back that truma with food that is not truma, that has already been mitukan, and depending on the rate of it, he pays his additional 25%. Now, the shaila is, there's a big question, when he pays back, does he pay back the amount that he ate, or the money worth of what he ate? So is it lefi damin, or is it lefi midah? Technically speaking. Now, one of the things that we bring in that sugya is the Tanya. Achal grogrot. Somebody eats grogrot, which are dried figs, and he pays in dates. Ah, tavo alav bracha. This guy is really a nice guy. Now, hechidon, what's it talking about? If he's paying the same amount of money, I mean, if it's going according to money, so he eats what? A zuz, and he's mishalim a zuz. So my tavo alav bracha. Understand? It's the same amount of money. What does he deserve? He's paying us. What kind of bracha is that? El alav lefi midah. Must be that you're giving back the same amount of dates. You ate, let's say, a bushel of grogrot. You give back a bushel of dates. And we're saying, so he ate a giruya de grogrot, which is worth a zuz, and he's paying back tamarim, and these tamarim, let's say, are shavya arba. V'katani tavo alav bracha. Let's say, so obviously tamarim are better than grogrot. So if it said before grogrot or bekav, I can certainly prove to you that tamarim you don't need more than kav. Amar le'abayin, not necessarily. Maybe it means that it goes according to the amount of value, and he ate a zuz worth of grogrot, and he's paying back a zuz worth of tamarim. When it says tavo alav bracha, it's because you ate grogrot, which you don't have a lot of people jumping to buy. And you're paying back with these fresh dates where you do have people that are jumping to buy. And it's easier for him to translate that into money. That might be the point. How about shatita? Shatita we had before was this, you would take grain, parched grain, turn it into a flour, mix it with honey. So it's the ultimate teglach in Yiddish. Because the grain, parched grain is very sweet. And you're adding honey to it. So you got these delicious honey cookies.
What's parched grain?
Parched grain?
Like parched wheat?
Yeah. I mean, it has to be shot from cannons, I think. That makes it really nice and sweet.
So parched grain is somehow cooked slightly.
Yeah, it means you put it over they used to have like a little avu, a parcher. Well, we have popcorn. They would have like grains that they would roll over an open fire. Yeah, puffed wheat. All those types of grains that they puff up. Corn puffs. Also delicious.
Sugar
spice. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, this is it. So how, and then they would grind it up and they would mix it with honey. So how much of that? So Amar Rav Acher Bar Pinchas. What? Oh, I'm sorry, I skipped a name. I thought okay. Shtita Amar Rav Acher Bar Pinchas Trei Shargushi. 2 handfuls or 2. The tarvat was a standard scoop. Kisani, how about if you have just grain, the kloyot, that are roasted? Omer Abaye, trei buni de pumpatisa. The buni was a handful, was what it means, but they had a measurement in pumpatisa called a buni. Omer Abaye said, you know, my mommy always told me, ani kisani, wheaties? Mala laliba, eat your wheaties every morning. It's good for the heart. Umevatle machshafta, it keeps you happy. If you're the kind of guy who likes to think, you know, you'll be miserable. Eat your Wheaties. The Omer Abaye, yes, indeed. Omer Ali, my mommy also told me, of course, this wasn't really his mommy, because his mommy died at childbirth. This was his nanny that he used to call Aim. So, I man to eat like Chush and Libya. If you got a weak heart, I'll tell you what you do. Throw out your anti-cholesterol pills. Lysate bisra da atmi. I mean, I get yourself some nice big thick steaks from a right thigh of an aisle, a dichra. You gotta get this thing shishkabat properly. The only way to do it properly is you take animal droppings from Nisan and use that as your fuel. And if you don't have any of that, ileka kivuya deraita, laite sugaini de arvata. You could always use arava twigs. You make those twigs into coals, okay? And then you kebab them, the nichbabe. Kebab them up over that. That's really what it means. Yeah. It means to cut it into cubes.
Oh, the meat is cut.
Yeah. Nichbabe, because it's kebab. And the nechel, and eat this meat, and then make sure nechel, eat it up, v'nishte batrecham remarka, and get yourself some good drinkable wine that's been properly mixed. That'll do it for your heart any day. You'll never feel a thing again.
What's the difference with nisana, tut, and regular, any other one? Just out of interest.
Four.
And the answer is four.
Four.
It doesn't matter.
Spelled F-O-R-E. Omer Avira Mishmur. Koshehu liftan, kedei le'echol bo. Koshe eino liftan, kedei le'echol heimenu. Now the klal is, if you're talking about a liftan doesn't mean what it means today. It's used to mean dessert. It means something that you eat together with your bread. So then, it's to eat, enough to eat, if you were eating and you had bread here, to eat the bread together with this. Bring a little bit, maybe jam. But if it's not a liftan, it's generally not eaten with bread, then kidei lechol heimen. And you'd have to have enough to actually eat it as your seuda, which is an awful lot. You'd be much more advised, better advised, to use a liftan. Let's say if you're taking basar chai. Now here we get into some serious issues. I mean, you're talking about the beef jerky, according to most. Now, question is, do you mix that with bread? Absolutely not. A he-man takes his biltong and he bites out of it and eats it and that's it. So it's enough to eat it, but how about basar tzli? How about, you know, the sissy food where they barbecue the meat or something? Do you eat that on its own or do you eat that with bread? Rava says, kedei lechol bo. Kedei lechol bo, you always eat that with bread. Who eats just plain meat? So therefore, it means enough meat to have with your bread, not to make a meal out of. Rav Yosef says, oh, no. Kedei lechol emeno. No, you're eating meat. You eat meat. Leave the bread behind. Rav Yosef, I'll prove it to you. Take a look at those Persians over there. Those Persians are always eating tabaki below the arm. They're walking around with the steaks and popping them into their mouth. That's the way they eat. Amalei Abaya, since when do Persians define the way people eat? All of a sudden, these guys define now what's considered to be the way to eat food. Maybe we should save this for this.